honored to have with us this morning the King family. Dwayne is a visionary, a pace setter, and he asked me what he should do up here this morning. I said, just be Dwayne, okay? So give him a warm York Bible Church welcome. We're excited, my brother.
Wow, Brian, I can't believe it. Beautiful singing. All I could hear was me and you. It was great. If you've never been around evangelistic song leading and preaching and churches, if you've not really grown up there, you didn't get it. You don't get it. But this is spirit behind the pulpit, with the piano, with other people. It's called spirit, godly spirit. And I just love it. And it's a big encouragement. You just bless my socks off. It was a great thing. Now, you know, I have with me my wife, Kathy. There you go. And I have with me Alexander Voloshin. Alexander is a missionary pilot, church planter in studies. And believe me, boy, he's in studies. He's studying hard. He studies all day long. He's in seminary, actually, at the Appalachian Bible College. How many have ever heard of Appalachian Bible College? Have you?
I have heard.
Okay, good. Dr. Dan Anderson and I have been working together to put Kingdom AmeriCorps and Appalachian Bible College together in this course that we've put together called Missionary Aviation Church Planting. And so it's to get young people trained to take the gospel to the nations, to places where there's no roads. And there's a lot of places like that. In fact, in Alaska, 85% of the towns and villages and cities, including Juneau, and Juneau is our capital, and there's no road to Juneau, and it's true. And so when I was flying, I've been flying in Alaska for almost 60 years as a bush pilot and a pastor, starting churches where there's no roads. So that's the idea. The idea is to fulfill the Great Commission for you. So the Great Commission is to the church. The church has the commission by Jesus to take the gospel to the remotest, to the farthest corners of the earth. And we happen to be there. Russia and Siberia. How many have ever been to Siberia? One, two. See what I mean? Not many people can get there, except pilots and missionary pilots. You have to be in order to fulfill the gospel. So that was the way it was on my first trip to Russia from Alaska, flying across the Bering Sea and being one of the first ones ever to go from Nome, Alaska, right on the coast of the Bering Sea, and an hour and 20 minutes over to the first city, the first airport, on the other side. And I was following the directions. It says, go to the uttermost parts. And that's exactly where we were, into the uttermost parts. In fact, it's like a dairy farmer, you know. A dairy farmer goes to the most udders, and we go to the uttermost parts. My Sunday school teacher milks 1,500 head twice a day. Sunday school teacher, our Sunday school teacher, in Greencastle, Pennsylvania. So that's where we came from this morning. That's where we come to in the winter to get away from the ice and snow. And that's where we kind of center our outreach to come to places like you and say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for buying our lunch every day by your tithes and your offerings. That's what you do. We're carrying on your commission by the Lord himself because you're just not pilots. You don't know how to fly. You can't go there. But we can. And because God has given us his word, in fact, that first flight, I was smuggling Bibles. I had 500 Bibles that Slavic Gospel Association gave me to get them into the Far East. They worked in the Far West, which is 8 time zones away from the Far East. And so when you look at that globe, somebody had to go to that farthest place. And God simply put me with wings. And it all happened when a Ukrainian pastor in 1951 came to my church in Vestal, New York. It's where I grew up. And because that happened, that pastor wept. He couldn't speak a word of English, so Peter Dynica, the founder of Slavic Gospel Association, Peter Dynica was his interpreter. And he got up, just like this guy. Now, he can speak English, but when he first came to America, you wouldn't have wanted him to get up in front of a church and try to speak English, right? But he learned it. And so that Russian, Ukrainian pastor said, пожалуйста, помолимся за наши братья. Помолимся за наши церкви. Pray for our brothers because they're in prison. Pray for our churches because they're wrecked. And молимся за Россия, pray for Russia. And so now, since then, God led me to Laterno University and Practical Bible Training School, where I got my Bible training. And Laterno, where I got my aviation training, pilot mechanic. And we put it together, and God sent us to Alaska in 1968. We've been there ever since. And so we're grateful for you, that you have taken us on for support, and you allow us to make trips into places of the world where there are very, very few churches. I'm on the mic, right? I'm on my lapel mic. Okay. And so we are able to now train young people like him from those countries. Several of them have come to Kingdom Air Corps in Alaska, learn to fly, got their Bible training, got their pilot training, and they're now flying in other countries. It's kind of a unique niche ministry. We're a niche ministry. I've never heard of that before. Actually, I just thought of it. We're a niche ministry. So we are, it's kind of unusual. And so we're able to train now these people and get them. Well, through the Bible school called Appalachian Bible College, we are able to get students coming from foreign countries and get a student visa. And with that student visa, because they're an accredited Bible college, they can come. And so with that student visa, they are able to get the word. We are able to get scholarships for them. We are able to put them into airplanes, both here in Pennsylvania. You don't know. You might not know that in Greencastle, actually Chambersburg, we have an airstrip there. We have hangars. And there we are training missionary pilots in the winter time, especially in the winter, because up in Alaska, the wind is blowing. The runways are icy. It's miserable. And that's why we come to balmy Pennsylvania. We're so smart. And so we're able to do that. But now we have just got a new hangar in Alaska, and we're able to keep the airplanes de-iced and warm, and all we have to do is push them out, and the runway is all plowed now, but because we have a hangar in Palmer, Alaska, rather than up in the pass, up in the mountains, on a grass runway. You know what it is to plow snow on a grass runway? You tear the place up. You tear up the runway. And so it's much easier to let the state do it down in the town below. And they are able to keep the runway. So that's what we do. Hey, let's show that video. And this will give you a little bit of a better picture. Yeah, this is a little quick flip. Go ahead. Whew. Praise the Lord. Now that gives you a little better idea. It gives you a mental picture of what it is, and that's what we do all summer long. And pastors, that guy there, Mike Miller, Pastor Mike Miller, he's pastor of a large Baptist church in Texas. Used to be a corporate pilot, flight instructor. So he comes every summer and teaches these young people how to get their ratings. So the private pilot, that takes 40 hours. Instrument rating, that's what he's getting right now. That's another 40, 50 hours. Commercial rating, that is like 250 hours. And then most of them get flight instructor, and then some of them go on and get an airframe and power plant mechanic at the School of Missionary Aviation Technology in Ionia, Michigan, or at Liberty University. Both those places have a one-year airframe and power plant called ANP license. And so they're able to maintain their own airplanes because they're in some far away mountainous area where they're unable to find or hire or another mechanic can go. And so we're able to do it all. That's how it began with me as a Bible evangelist with an airplane. But I had to maintain the airplane. So I had to go get a mechanic's license with my pilot's licenses, because it's just too far out there. And every day I'm either carrying, where is she? Marion and burying. Carrying, marrying, and burying. Hopping, skipping, jumping, squeaking, creaking and leaking. And so it just goes on and on. And so that's what we're still doing. I am able to do it all, even now from Pennsylvania. Praise God for young people that drive me around. And because I go to sleep. I go to sleep. And I'm just like an old man, just go to sleep. I just hand the controls to these guys and say, take me, head right for that mountain, but don't hit it. And so we make long trips, and Kathy drives as well. We drive back and forth, so we make a good team. And so all of this is going on, and so I plan to do it. You're not supporting many 83-year-old missionaries, because either they're dead or they're too tired or retired. And I don't know. I couldn't find that word in the Bible. Retire. And so I'm not living it. And I'm able to stand here. I'm able to talk to people every day about Christ. I'm an evangelist. And because I've got stories to tell about people who got saved after hearing the gospel, because I'm an anointed person. That is, Jesus said, what did he say in Acts 1:8? Go, preach the gospel in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And I will give you the Holy Spirit, because it's not you, it's not me. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that takes the gospel from my mouth and makes it perfectly fit into the mind and heart of people, unsaved people. And so that's how it goes. Well, I can still do it. I can still talk about it. And I can still be training these young people. And so you think I should quit? No. Keep going as long as you can do it. And so I think about that song. These songs that you sang about your last days. Go to the end. Don't quit. And we sing about it. We preach about it. And we read about it. How God blesses all of us. Look at all these gray heads. And, or no head. I mean, no hair. And so it goes that way. We've got a job to do. As long as we've got a mouth and a mind and a heart and a willingness to go, God has work for us to do. Listen to it. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. So here is the words from about 2,000 years ago from an apostle, a preacher, evangelist, to a young up-and-coming leader. We got one right here. And This is a modern picture of an old script. And so he and I were sitting talking yesterday about how many page paper is that? 15 page paper. And last week he had to do an 18 page paper because he's getting a master's degree. It's in depth, hard, laborious thing. It takes hours to write those kind of papers. And it takes a lot of research. It takes a lot of study. It takes all the... And so he's getting it done. Wow, praise the Lord. 2 years ago, we had a guy that I recruited from Pakistan. You know how many missionary pilots there are in Pakistan? None. But this young man was able to get a visa, and he came to the same school. His name is Basit Hamad, and he went through the program and got this training, got great Bible training and flight training. He's a pilot. Anyway, here we are. Listen to this. Follow along. Chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing, he's coming, in view of his appearing and his kingdom, that's his in charge domain, his kingdom. We work for the kingdom. That's why we put that on the first word of our mission. Kingdom Air Corps. Because it's all about this, doing what he's in charge of. Kingdom Air Corps. I give you this charge. Do it. Do it. Get it done. We were given a charge to take the gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And so we're able to do it because we're pilots. Well, canoers can do it too. In fact, they used to do it. But along came Nate Saint from Pennsylvania, Jim Elliott, Roger Yoderian, Pete Fleming, a lot of those guys from down the road. They came along and they saw and heard about the people of Ecuador. And those people had a passion and a burden and a desire to start missionary aviation. Well, this is what we're still doing that. We've now got 5 pilots. Konstantin Rudoy, a PhD in physics in Russia. He's the leader of our team. We support him. We're going over there in August to help him work on the airplanes, plan on reaching more villages. Now they found 7 villages with airstrips. And they're busy all summer long flying into those airstrips. What are they doing? Carrying, marrying, and burying. Taking care of the spiritual needs, the marrying part. And when all those people get old like us, they die. Somebody's got to bury them. Who will do it? There's no churches in those towns. No pastors in those towns. They just somehow get rid of them. Us. Well, preaching at a funeral is what I did hundreds of times. 1 9-month period, I did 14 funerals in Alaska with Athabascan Indian people. Man, I preached the gospel during those times. And it was an opportunity. You do the same thing. And so we use these as opportunities because we can fly in and do that. How much time do I have? I'm losing track. Look at the clock. What? 10 more minutes? About that. Okay. You think I'm going to listen? You think I even heard you? No, I'm deaf. Anyway, he says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage. This is what I talked to him about yesterday. I want him to take this, go somewhere where there's nobody else. Now he's trained. He's got the Bible in his mind and in his heart, and he's learned how to preach. And so he's going to go somewhere. We don't know. I keep telling him, Russia, you speak the language. Might as well go there. How many of you speak Russian? I see that hand. Okay. So you have that. And then he says, with great patience and careful instruction, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. That's the time that we're in. And so we need men who understand God's word and who are prepared with sound doctrine. And so this is what we're looking for, training, and then getting these people trained to be able to fly. No simple task, getting those ratings. Instead, to suit their own desires, these people, they gather around them people with great numbers and teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. There's people, a lot of churches around here that went that way. Unfaithful to the word of God. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. Man, this is what we tell all these pilots that we're training. Man, you got to keep your head. You cannot be flustered when the snow comes. You cannot be flustered when the wind starts throwing you around like a paper doll. You're likely going to lose your mind or your senses when these kind of things happen and you can't even read the instruments. You're thrown. You're tossed. And those needles are going like this in the cockpit. And he's learning how to make that airplane fly only on the instruments. Just wait till he gets in severe turbulence. You been there?
Once.
You say, oh, just look at your instruments. They're all over the place. That's why we like these new airplanes with electronic garments. And we're replacing some of our instruments that go like that with electronic instruments, garments. And some folks understand what I'm talking about, and so they've helped us in purchasing good equipment. We have 40 airplanes that have been donated. 40. and they were all derelicts, like some of us. But we rebuild them down here in Pennsylvania, Rock Top Airport. By the way, I need a plumber. He is downstairs. He should be here. You guys get the message to him. We have no water in the hangar. In fact, we don't even have a toilet. So, this fall, we dug a ditch and we got water to the hangar, but there's no pipes to hook it to anything. Yesterday, I washed the cars. And do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. We teach our pilot mechanics to pray and expect God to send somebody down the runway, down the road. Expect it, because they've been praying with expectation. Do you know, I testify to the fact that that works. God sends me somebody every day that comes down the road. Why? Because God answers my prayer. Nobody else is going to answer that prayer any more than God. Nobody can answer prayer except obedience, for us to say, yes, Lord. I will open my mouth with the gospel, with the testimony. And I have many stories of God working in people. I love it when they come, total strangers. And in the conversation, I say, you know why you're here? They really are snooping. Airplanes. Oh, wow, these are cool things. And they come snooping. They come because God put it on their heart. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. And that work that he is doing is an answer to your prayer. Lord, send somebody to me every day that I can witness to share the gospel. And he does it. I've got hundreds of stories of how God did that so that I can witness, share, tell them how somebody else got saved. And so this is the duty of the ministry that we have. So he goes on. Listen to verse 6. Look at that. This is an old guy. He's preaching just like this old guy is preaching here. This is what he says. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. Get ready to haul me out of here from behind this pulpit. I have fought the good fight, trying my best. I have finished the race. I'm exhausted. I have kept the faith because I've got people like this and like this. My wife is studying theology. She's working on her doctorate. What a blessing to have a wife who knows the Word of God. And so, now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness. That's what the songs were about that we were just singing. We got something in store for us. It's the crown of righteousness, faithfulness, doing the right thing because we've been taught the Word of God here in this church for so many years, which the Lord, the righteous judge. We will be judged according to the work that we have done or not done. And will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all of those who long for his appearing. Praise God. I hope you're ready. I hope you're longing for that appearing. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the way in which you have been faithful, for the way in which you've encouraged us. By the way, has anybody here been on a team to go somewhere with Vic Hendrickson? I see that hand. Ukraine. Yep. And okay. So you know what I'm talking about. Well, I'm going to tell a story in Sunday school. And it could be about you. So I don't know if anybody here ever went to Russia, but there was a church here in York or nearby that went to Russia and helped us rebuild a church. And I'll tell that story because I have a little bit more time. Don't miss Sunday school. What time is Sunday school? 11? Okay. I better be quiet and let you get ready for Sunday school. So there's my message, a thankfulness, and a lot about why we're doing what we're doing and trying to be faithful to the calling that you've sent us to do. Praise God for all of that. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us through this church who has enabled us to do the work of the ministry. Thank you, Father, for their prayer. I pray that you will bless the hearts and lives of people who have been praying for us, supporting us from this church. Bless them in every way. Keep their vision strong. Keep their faith and doctrine sure. Help them, Lord, to send more missionaries. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.